2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com, follow us on Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away!
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great. University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
KSL's unrivaled, the teams you live for, the sports you love. Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery on KSL News Radio.
I got to tell you a story.
What's up?
On occasion, yeah, I've been known to go back. There's this thing called YouTube, which is amazing.
Oh, no.
And YouTube has
everything. Did you go back in the archive?
It has everything on it. Like, it probably has the day I was, like, my birth, right? It's probably, there's some video out there of when I, so I go back on occasion.
You didn't go watch one of your old games, did you?
Oh, yes, I did.
Scott, I'm like Doc Brown in Back to the Future. I'm like, Morty, you can't go back and look at all these things. It affects the show for negative.
It does.
So, Scott, I told you not to watch your old games. Was this one of those where you're wallowing your misery, you throw pick six, and you get sad?
This is a good one. So it's when I was playing for the Miami Dolphins, and I just started playing. And I have the announcers, Dick Emberg and Bob Trumpy are right. Going, look at the smile on that young man's
look
face.
Look at Scott Mitchell, the big left-hander out of Utah.
Yeah, right. Yeah. And we just killed the Kansas City Chiefs, right? And it was just so much fun.
So you see Patrick Mahomes' contract get signed, you go, I'm going to watch me playing Joe Montana and the Chiefs. Because that was the year you played him, right?
Right. I mean, this Joe Montana, you know, he's like considered one of the best of all time.
Right.
And you have Neil Smith and Derek Thomas. They had a really good football team. But my point about this is, at that moment, there was nobody hotter in the NFL than the Miami Dolphins and me. No one.
Right.
We were playing so good.
But that's how you
got
paid. It was
so much fun. Right. It was how I got paid. But the thing that's, players have to strike while the iron's hot. Because your fortune can change in a dime. And it doesn't have anything to do with you, whether you can play or you can't play, but circumstances change
It's about how hot you are
quickly.
Right then.
Yes.
And Patrick Mahomes, like, if he doesn't, because you said, look, he's going to be worth more than this in 10 years or not.
Right.
Like, that's the thing is what you have to weigh out if you're Patrick Mahomes.
And they'll structure the contract to reflect that. He'll get so much guaranteed money up front, and they'll evaluate it. So he'll go through these next 2 years, and they'll probably go through, you know, 3 or 4 years on the contract, and then they'll look at it and go, we probably need to because he has 2 years left now, and they've already renegotiated, and that's how they do it. Or they get rid of you.
Well, once the guaranteed money's up, and correct me if I'm wrong, but once the guaranteed money's up, it's a one-way contract. It's the NFL team's in control after that. Well, then it's about them making a deal with you or not, cutting you loose, or them having to determine whether or not you're worth them keeping because you're worth them kind of keeping you around. So
it's about budgeting, too, where the team goes, we're going to give you guaranteed money that we can spread over the life of the contract, which gives us more money to sign other players. So you give up a little bit of money down the road, per se, but you're getting it today. And players go, yeah, give me all the money today.
Right, sure.
Unless you're Bobby Bonilla, and then you say, give me $1 million for the next 30
for the
years.
Next 35 years.
Could you imagine what they'd have to give Patrick Mahomes
to get him
$400 million over the next 30 years?
That would be, well, it'd have to be $600 million, and they'd have to do it over to do it 30 years. And he'd get $5 million a year for the next 40 years.
40 years.
To be able to make that work. All right. I want to bring this up, and it's what was said today. Dominic Foxworth on ESPN had this to say, because it wasn't just about whether or not Patrick Mahomes deserves the money. It turned into this conversation about if he's the greatest of all time. It's a little bit early for that, but that's he's good enough that they're having that conversation
already. We already know that Patrick Mahomes' best is better than Tom Brady's best. Patrick Mahomes' mediocre is better than Tom Brady's mediocre. Patrick Mahomes' worst, we haven't seen it yet. He's never played a bad game in two seasons of football. I don't understand how you look at the skills that he shows on the field and project in a draft scenario that you'd rather have the guy who has been less consistent and less outstanding throughout this process. Like, I understand all the things that he's accomplished, but in a raw ability standpoint, it's impossible not to pick Patrick Mahomes, the best quarterback we've ever seen in the most important position.
Dan Marino, you'll ask any quarterback who's played.
Yeah.
Probably the best thrower of the football.
And like,
when you talk about raw skill, what
is
his – yeah, and there's a quote from Brett Favre, which I actually agree with him. He goes, Dan Marino, skill-wise, is the best quarterback, and if anyone doesn't agree with you, they're lying. So throwing a football and the raw skill – and it's true. He was exceptional. Unbelievable. So good. But it's not, you know, if you're looking at the best player of all time, you can't. Do you know how hard it is to win a Super Bowl?
Yeah.
And how many people don't?
And he's done it already.
And not only has he won six, he's been to what, nine?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, nine Super Bowls.
I'm talking about Tom Brady.
Yes.
Well, so, but.
And to say that, look.
That Patrick Mahomes is already better than he is.
Skill wise, no question. Patrick Mahomes. Throwing a football and what he can do, his running ability, his athletic ability, yes.
What's your gut tell you on how this guy's career is going to pan out? Is he going to keep being a dominant force, or is this one of those guys? Because we also have a little, you know, we can study a former MVP, guy who took his team to the Super Bowl, was worth a lot of money, and then totally fizzled out, and is getting the bare minimum salary with some incentives attached. Cam Newton. He was this guy.
First player in the draft.
Was,
I mean,
he was the guy that everybody wanted, and he took. He was the 2015. This isn't even that long ago. 2015 MVP, and took his team to the Super Bowl that year. And we sort of treat him a little bit like Johnny Manziel, like is he washed up? Like you're going.
Do you know why Tom Brady's lasted so long?
Why?
He's not a dual threat quarterback.
So the dual threat guys are actually not the future of the NFL.
The dual threat quarterback is the running back who can throw. And running backs don't last a long time in the NFL. And Cam Newton is a great example of this. And he's a talent.
But Patrick Mahomes can run the ball, too, though.
But he doesn't. Patrick Mahomes does not run.
Russell Wilson does in smart situations.
I know. They're not dual-threat quarterbacks. They are quarterbacks that drop. That's why these guys – Patrick Mahomes has an instinct. He has – it's not like – a lot of these dual-threat guys are running, like, because they don't know what they're doing.
I hope Taysom Hill's listening. And you go, hey, man, you got to be a quarterback first.
Steve Young will never be in the Hall of Fame if he was a dual threat quarterback. He stopped running. And when you get a guy, Patrick Mahomes, he just has an uncanny ability to know when. It's to know when to run. And he's not a guy that's like, okay, you know, we feel in our offense that about 30% of our offense needs to be Patrick Mahomes running. And that's a dumb thing to do.
Yeah.
It's BS. You want your quarterback to be around for the next play, the next season, and the next 10 seasons. And Cam Newton is a great example of, you know, he's hurt. And it makes people leery, but it's because he's had this, you know, I'm going to be Superman, and I'm going to run, and I'm going to last forever. And I'm telling you, those guys in the NFL, even the way they don't let them hit people, they still hit you hard.
This is a guy that
just takes its toll on you.
This is physically the most intimidating-looking quarterback I've ever seen in NFL history, Cam Newton.
Yeah.
6'5", 245, and runs like the wind, right? And is quick and has a gun for an arm. So there's this thing about if he sells out and develops just as a pure quarterback and only uses the running in emergency situations, then that's his, the best version of him. By the way, that's the best version of him in the New England offense. I mean,
well,
if it's
that's
gonna work.
What's going to be fascinating to watch is can Cam Newton become more like Tom Brady?
Cam Newton this weekend.
And it may save his career.
Cam Newton this weekend said, I'm tired of being humble. He's kind of like, I'm moving on from this. I'm going to start dominating. I'm going to take over. Number one, it's hard for me to believe that he was ever humble. There's that. Okay? And then the second, wearing those outfits, you're not humble ever. Okay?
It's like, what's your definition of humble? Like,
but do you hear that and think to yourself, oh, I'm excited to see this new version of what Cam Newton's going to be. I think it's kind of intriguing because they're going to have to kind of go, hey, man, the new Cam Newton is not going to be what you were doing in Carolina for your career or at Auburn.
Have you ever heard of the hot, crazy matrix?
No.
Oh.
Should we talk about it in the 2-minute drill?
I learned about it over the weekend.
Okay, the hot, crazy matrix?
Or crazy hot matrix, either
okay.
way.
Okay. Scott will give us some
just
of his...
Just the whole humble Cam Newton.
Ethan's going to teach... Ethan. Scott's going to teach us something about the internet and the internet age. He's kind of a tech savvy guy. We're going to come right back. More to go. 2-minute drills next. We'll wrap things up right here. Stay with us. It's KISS on this radio.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now, too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.